time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Today's show actually ties together so many of the different activities that I speak about in all the other series, all my other shows. Well, today it's, I don't want to say it's hiking in bear country, fishing in bear, it's all the different things that you could be doing out in bear country and how we can be safe. And, you know, for me, growing up in the East and being, I don't want to say surrounded by black bears, but with black bears all the time, and then being out west and doing my research specifically on grizzly bears, I am an environmental scientist, so I've spent quite a bit of time in the outdoors, have extensively, you know, researched, you know, so many different topics, wolves, lions and tigers and bears of mine, out west. So I've been in touch with, as I call them, G-bears, the grizzly bears. And before I get into it, because we're going to talk about being safe in bear country, before I get into that, let me just say it this way. And I say this when I'm teaching about snakes. I say snakes are like humans. Most of the humans you encounter are nice, and every now and then you meet that one human who's not so nice. Well, snakes are that way, and you know, I would always talk about growing up. I had a den in my backyard of garter snakes, and there were hundreds upon hundreds would be there, picking them up and putting them down. And every now and then, one snake, well, you ain't touching me. Well, I don't recommend that you go hug a black bear or grizzly bear. But most bears are very docile. Most bears, they don't care much about you. The only key thing is we don't want to startle them. And I thought that was a good way of starting today is talking about, okay, what we don't want to do and what we do want to do so that we are safe in our approach to being near bears. This show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. One of the first one is, you know, I'm probably not the guy that you want to surprise and wake me up because I'm a pretty sound sleeper. I do remember because I played two sports growing up and hockey was my second sport. Every Friday night, I'd have a hockey game at 2 or 3 in the morning. And that's the only time I could play because I had, soccer first thing in the morning and that was my college life going on. So with that being said, my friend Tommy would come and wake me up because we'd go out, and I can go out for a short time, no alcohol, because, you know, literally going to play hockey. And he would come and wake me up, and I'd be swinging and swatting at him. And my mother would be sort of pseudo-yelling at me, like, how could you treat your friend this way? And I was sound asleep. Well, don't startle me, and I'm going to say this, don't startle a bear. So how do we do that? Well, one of the things I'm going to say this, we're going to talk about being in a group, but I also know that you're not always in a group because sometimes you are solo. I mean, I love going out hiking with my friends and fishing with my friends and all the other backpacking, et cetera. But there are times that I'm solo. You're there by yourself. I go fishing because it's the peace and serenity. So how do we make sure that bears are not startled by what we do? So I say it this way. Here's the deal. When you're out there, if you're with your friends, talk and carry on a conversation. You typically would anyway, but that talk does something. It causes a bear to realize that you are there. If you're on your own, sing and sing out loud. And, you know, hey, you don't have to have the greatest voice in the world because guess what? If the only people that could hear you, well, there's no people if you're solo, then it's just the animals hearing you and they're not going to go, well, I can't stand his voice. And they're going to give you a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. So you're not going to startle them. And we always talk about, can you put some bells on your backpack, put some bells on your shoelaces? The answer is yeah. Can you clap your hands? And I'd say every now and then you're clapping, just making a noise because sound does travel. And, you know, all of these things, some people will actually along the trail, they'll do a little bit of yelling like, hey, hey, bear, and just keep walking along. Well, also understand this. If you're out there to see wildlife, but you're also out there to be safe, as you're doing all these things, you're going to obviously scare away the bears, so they will just move on. But the other side of it is you're also going to scare away the wildlife you're going out to see, but that is the trade-off. Now, one of the most dangerous situations in the wild is when you're out there and you get somehow between a sow, that's a female bear, and her cubs. So we want to make sure, if you see a cub somewhere, well then obviously if there's a cub, there is definitely a sow somewhere. And I do remember, and this is very recently, we were out filming along a trail. We're in heavy black bear country, and we're getting towards the top of a ridgetop. And as we're getting towards the top of the ridgetop, we see a cub dash up a tree. So like, I'm going to say 20, 30 feet from us, right up the tree. And this sow runs down the hill. Why she ran? But I guess she realized her cub was safe up the tree, and she ran down there. We were not in between them. But I also do remember growing up, we were backpacking. We were down in Shenandoah National Park, hiking along. And along the trail, there are two cubs up two trees on both sides of the trail. And the sow is off on, you know, in the woods there, maybe about 20, 30 feet away. I just stand there watching. And we're going, okay, so what do we do? And the sow was, knew that cubs were safe and allowed us to walk. We walked on around the opposite side because, once again, you don't want to get between sow and cubs. But these are just, so I'm giving you some of my experiences. So you realize that, as long as you're doing the right things out there and being safe and not challenging out there, that becomes very important. And the next thing is this. And I always joke that I am a chickenaholic. I absolutely love chicken. So somebody's just put down a chicken dinner for me, and I'm chatting with someone and sort of turn my head, and you come along and you go to take my chicken dinner. Well, I'm coming after you with that fork. I'm kidding. But anyway, you don't want to threaten a bear who's on some food, who's on a big carcass. The word we use is carrion, dead animal. Well, you need to make sure that if you smell something dead, you're moving away from it because you're going to go, well, let's go explore it. Well, that's probably the bear's food. And many times a bear will build a dead day bed right next to their food source because, hey, why go waste a lot of energy? Bears is going to eat a lot. It's almost like that Thanksgiving meal where you eat a lot and you just sit back and watch a little football, whatever you're doing, and then you go eat a lot more, and then you're going, well, I'm so full, and somebody says dessert, and then magically, all of a sudden, there's a big space. Did you ever notice that? That opens up in your stomach, and you can put some dessert inside there. Well, a bear is the same way. He's going to, if it's blueberries in season, he's going to be eating every blueberry on the side of a mountain, and then all of a sudden, he's getting a little tired and go for a little nap, but he has a day bed right next to it. So this way he's close to his food source. Cause my saying in the wild is if you use a lot of energy, you have to go get energy. So let's conserve energy. So if you find and I'll give you an example, we were doing grizzly bear research. We were coming out of, the mountains, just coming down, and towards the bottom, we actually found a carcass of a horse, an animal that was tied up. And, he was tied up, so he became very easy prey for a grizzly bear. And as soon as we saw the carcass, our canisters of bear spray, and I'll talk more about that later on, but our canisters of bear spray came out because we needed to be aware that a bear was somewhere in this area. But one of the other things is, by saying that, we're coming down as scientists, and we're just having a conversation because literally we are just about done. I'm sure he knew that we were there because one of the first things I said to you is make sure that you know, or the bear knows that you're there by singing and talking. Well, if you got a group of scientists who are, the Italian word is cacchione, speaking, talk, 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 talk. Well, we were sort of just, I guess, towards the end, you're going, wow, we're finally done. So the bear knew that we were there. So let's talk about a couple of things. If I don't want to run into a bear, let's talk about bear signs. So how do I know that a bear is in the area? Well, the first thing you need to know is that, well, it's easy to look at bear tracks. But bear tracks you don't always see because it depends on the medium, the soil that they're walking on, the imprint. Is it over rock? Is it over rooted materials, plants? So sometimes you may not catch that one. But other things you can see is this scat. And scat is his le poo-poo. You know, well, so here you are. People go, well, that's gross. Well, no, it's not gross. I describe it this way. If you look into a bear scat, and yes, I said that, but again, I'm a scientist. When you look into a bear scat, you know what he's eating. And if you know what he's eating, then you know where to find the bear. So scat is one of those signs, but I guess you don't need to look into it, but hey, I do. And then you might find along a tree, if you've ever had like an itchy back and you say to somebody, oh, rub my back, scratch my back. Well, bears don't say this to other bears, so they will actually find a scratching post, and it could be a tree, and they're going to rub their back alongside of it, and you will find their big old guard hairs, the large hairs, outside there. And also another sign is bears love to dig. One of the bears we found up in the top of the Rockies, he was in love with the larvae of moths. And there was this big old log, and he's just sitting there ripping the log apart, you know, because his claws monstrously long, ripping it apart. So this G-bear is enjoying, I guess, the dining of, because once again, larvae don't run that fast. So if they don't run fast, you don't have to go get a lot of energy. But you can see the diggings that he does. So there's another sign. And one of the other things is, be aware of all the other animals around you. And I describe it this way by my bird feeder. If my bird feeder, if all, you know, you got bird action, all of a sudden they disappear, then I know a sharp-shinned hawk is in the area because he's probably sitting in a tree right above the feeder and the birds are gone. Well, look at all the interactions of all the other animals. And if you start to see other animals disappearing, well, the probability that a large predator, could be a mountain lion, could be whatever it is, but it's probably that there's a large predator in the area. So just, you know, you might want, if they're dispersing away from an area, you might want to disperse away from that area as well. Now, when you're hiking, the hiking trails you're on, most of them are game trails. You see, over the thousands of years, animals have figured out the easiest way up and down mountains. Well, humans then have found these beaten paths, so to speak, and they continued on the same trails. So walking on the same corridors are humans, but all wild animals. So when you're hiking on there, this is a place, I just spoke to you about a number of the different signs. This is a place where you can find a lot of them. So you want, again, hike in groups. And if you're not in groups, go back to what I was saying about singing and talking and the bells. You know. And some people even talk about putting, you know, rocks in a tin can that jingle. Find something that is loud enough. You just make sure that you know that you are not surprising a bear. Next thing, know which way the wind is blowing. So your scent is going to be blown somewhere. So with your scent, and I'm going to get into talking about some foods along the trail and foods along when you're backpacking. So make sure that you know which way your scent is blowing, because hey, you might be fishing. So here you are standing on the side of a stream and your scent is being blown in a direction maybe that you didn't come from. So now all of a sudden, a bear is getting scent of something that's there. So let's talk a little bit about foods, scents, and come back to you as a person as well. And I always describe it this way. Taking foods that are simple foods. So let's just say you're going out for a fishing trip, because that's probably what I'd be doing. My fly rod would be with me. But I'm sure you know that this show is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. Have you seen the Joey B Signature Series? If you haven't, log on to TranquilityMountain.com. This is where adventures begin, because out in the wild, I'd have my Joey B Signature Series backpack on with me. So the simple foods I'd be carrying, something like, and I'm a pretty much like the health food guy, so I'd have pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds as my snack. Something of the nature of something that is simple to eat. Again, when you get into, you know, you're going to cook a meal. Well, I am not a, you know, they have the backpacking foods that they make. And well, again, some of those have some great scents to them, but most of them don't have a, you know, a great aroma, because again, it's not fresh food. I always describe that growing up, our backpacking trips, our first meal the first night always was broccoli and cavatiles with a little Parmesan cheese. Gotta have Parmesan cheese on that one. Well, because broccoli will actually last in the backpack for the day. So we would cook that up. Well, we always talk about our cook site is different than our campsite. So if you're going to do some hiking and then into some backpacking, well, you want to cook at least 100 feet away. Some people even say 100 yards away, but 100 feet away, make that your cook site. You make a little camp sink there. So you dig a little pit, and anything that you're done with that would have an aroma. And the example I'll give you is you're going to brush your teeth. Most toothpastes have like a minty flavor to them. Well, you want to spit inside this little sink, cover it back over. You never, ever, 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 ever bring food in your tent. I always say if you're bringing food in your tent, you've just made your tent into a burrito, and you are the inside and the inside of the burrito, so we don't. And you also don't cook in the same, or don't sleep, bring those same clothes into the tent that you cooked with, because they're going to have some aromas on them. An example I can give you is up in the top of the Rockies and doing my grizzly bear research, got these cool camo pants. It's like, hey, I live in camo really everywhere I go. And I'm having a peanut butter and honey sandwich for lunch. And all of a sudden I look down and there's some honey that dripped down onto my pants. And I'm going, no. So now I realize that they're not coming into my tent. So let's talk about where and how we hang some food. And we always talk about if you have food, it's hung up 10 feet up, 4 feet out, 4 feet down. And what this is you're going to have some type of food bag. And I don't recommend, again, even if you're going out for a short time, I don't recommend bringing a cooler because it's not the simple thing to carry. But there are some, hey, you go to a backpacking store, Camp Moores of Life, and you're going to find a food bag of sorts. And I've had the same food bag for years upon years. So I figure if it's got aromas, and I do wash it, but if it's got aromas, let it be the same bag. So you get a length of rope where you can throw it over a tree, that it's up at least 10 feet. It's out at least 4 feet and hanging down, dangling the food bag. And then you tie it off next to the side of the tree. Well, that going back to my honey on the pants story, well, I now realize that I've got to leave my pants with the honey up in my food bag. So it is now, and if you don't realize this, even in the summertime in the Rocky Mountains, it drops down into the 30s. So I would wake up 30 degrees outside in my underwear. Yeah, I guess I do need to share that with you. And now I've got to slowly lower the food bag down. Before I want food, I want warmth. I've got to get my pants out of the tree there. So let's just talk about, just being safe in what you do. And you can go online and you could print out quite a bit of material. And I'd say this. You may be the one who prepares with you and your friends, but maybe it's something that if you're going to head into bear country that you grab some, we'll call it the hard copy. You printed something out. And before you get out there, you actually do some reading. So what I did was this. In prep for this, I said, let me go search a little bit. And Yellowstone has been one of my playlands forever because, you see, I do my research. On one side is the grizzly bear research on one side in the Beartooth Mountains. Makes sense. And on the other side, I've been doing some plant research. One of my degrees is in botany, and I was on the Idaho side. So I'm doing research on the sagebrush steppe out in Idaho. But every time I'm done, I'm in Yellowstone to fly fish, to hike, meeting up with family and friends, and sharing some great times and adventures out there. But I printed out something. And I said, you're with somebody who said, I'll be driving because I love to drive. And somebody else could be reading this. And this is actually out of Yellowstone Grizzly Bears. And it says, what do you do if you see a bear at close range? Well, the first thing it says, do not run. Do not make sudden movements. And that makes sense. You don't want to, with any wild animal, you don't want to have that predator-prey response. There have been people on mountain bikes that have gotten run down by mountain lions because they're moving. And what does a mountain lion do? He sees a deer running, he runs. He sees a bike running, he's moving. So you don't want to ever run. You're not going to outrun them anyway. Unless you guys are some of the fastest people on Earth. Actually, I think the fastest person on Earth would still get run down by a grizzly bear. So you need to make sure that you're safe. And if you see that bear, give them an escape route. So here you are, you're out there, you're taking a look, and you see the bear at close range. You didn't startle him, but he just sort of respected that you were there. Well, start to move away, move away slowly. And I do mean this. While you're moving away, if somebody wants to click a picture and but by being safe, it's not stand there, take the picture, give them that escape route. I think that that's really important. And hey, me? I talk quietly to the bear. I say, hey, bear, it's just so he realizes that I am here. I'm not a threat. And there's a talking. So I'm not screaming and yelling. I'm just saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. One of my friends who is a ranger up in the Canadian Rockies, and he said he's on his horseback all the time, you know, doing his tours. And while he's riding, he'll just be singing out there. If he sees a bear, he just sings louder, just something. So it sort of puts him at ease. You don't want to act threatening. You don't want to make sudden movements. You don't want to do anything that's going to excite the bear. And you also don't want to look directly at the bear. Avoid looking, because now it's that confrontation. It's like the two kids in the cafeteria. Hey, you looking at me? Hey, you looking at me? Hey, you. Well, guess what? You don't want to be that. Hey, you looking at me with the bear? So just look away. I mean, hey, can you get a glance at him? Yeah. So the answer is yeah. And bears may make some, I'll call them gestures, that he's basically saying to you, excuse me, but this is my territory, you should leave. So if he begins to pop his teeth or makes a series of woofs, it's a warning. He's trying to, like, basically intended to scare you off with these threats. He might do some huffing, some panting, some growling. He might be looking directly at you and slapping one or both feet on the ground. And again, I'm reading this from the Yellowstone grizzly bear, but it's the things that I know. And, you know, if you are to make yourself larger, moving your arms up and down, and I know this works with black bears out in the east, just moving your arms real slow so it's not threatening, so it appears that your body's larger, and you're going, hey, bear, I'm here, bear, hey, bear, bear. And with the black bears, I probably would even be clapping my hands. With the grizz, no, you're not going to outrun them. And you know what? They talk about climbing a tree here, and here's my discrepancy. Bears climb real well. And they talk about getting up nice and high. If the bear's not threatening you, but again, bears sometimes will make bluff charges where they're going to come right near you and you need to stand your ground, just stand there. And again, do I recognize that this is a tough thing to do? Yeah. And the people that have actually come in contact with bears, some bears have actually bluff charge and swatted and hit the person and knocked them and just keep going. Some bears will just do that bluff charge and just run past you. And I realize that this is tough. Well, hey, guess what? You can't outrun them. You don't want to be aggressive, and you need to hold your ground. So now let's talk about, and again, this show is not meant to scare you, but to prepare you. So if you're going to be out in bear country, these are the things we know. So let's talk about, so what happens now if a bear is going on the attack? Well, you're going to crawl up into that ball shape on the ground. You're going to take your hands, and as I'm talking about this, I'm doing it right here in the studio, and you're going to take your hands and put them over your neck, all right, so protect that area. If your backpack is on, leave it on. If you happen to have lots of food inside that, then I would actually, if you had the opportunity, to take your backpack off, because that's the only thing that he may want. I'll say it this way. So here's the defense of all this going on, because somebody's sitting there going, well, I ain't going out. Hey, I have spent my entire life in the outdoors. I have never had a bear do a bluff charge. I have never had to get into a fetal position on the ground. Like, none of these things. So, hey, this is the preparation. So the knowing what we should be doing. Well, now let's talk about, because now I'm going to get to the next threat region. And you're going to go, oh my goodness. No. If you're in your tent at night and a bear comes into your tent, he's a predator. At this point, he's making an aggressive, nature to him. So you're not going to play dead inside there. You're going to fight back with whatever you have. Hey, if you got a lantern inside there, you whack him out, like whatever it takes to do what you need to do. And I'm going to give you an example with that one. And this is sort of the far-fetched, but a crazy example. But one, once again, you should know. I was up at one of my soccer camps just before I was leaving to do my grizzly bear research for the first time. And my buddy's up there working with them. Again, they're your best friends, so they're trying to scare you. We're up near the Canadian border, and they're trying to scare me and going, oh, you got to see Jim, and Jim's got to tell you about his story about the grizzly bear. So all week long, they're telling me this. Oh, you're going to meet Jim. Well, on the last day of camp, we all go out. There's only one restaurant. We're in the middle of nowhere. So we're out there. And Jim walks in, and Jim has these really, like, almost goofy, long, shorts on, if that makes sense, you know, just past his knees. And I never asked him, but I think they set me up that Jim would magically walk in. And they said, Jim, tell Joey about your encounter with the grizzly bear. And he's like sheepishly going, no. So Jim goes, okay. And he pulls up his pants and he's got a gash on one side of his leg, one side of his other leg, like his upper thigh, like these huge gashes. And Jim proceeds to tell me a story that he was hunting. So here it is, very much different. Hunting out in Alaska, just shot a caribou, and he just quartered it up. So he's actually carrying the meat out of the woods. So he's talking, carrying about meat that has blood on it and the aroma of all this. So again, getting back to the scents. And while he's carrying it out, a grizzly bear comes running out, grabs Jim by the thigh, and just throws him. Jim says he got launched like 20 feet. And then all of a sudden, the bear comes crashing through the woods, picks Jim up again, miraculously picks him up on the same leg, and is just like sort of holding him in his mouth. And Jim pulls out his big knife, hunting knife, jabs the knife in the bear's head, and the bear then runs off with his knife in his head. So here I am saying, they're just trying to spook me, scare me, and listen to the story. So I sort of got like this smile on my face, but I'm listening because it was a good story. And Jim says, if you don't believe me, go look at the Outdoor Life, and he told me the magazine and the issue. So before I got on a plane the next couple of days, I went to my local library, found that, and there was an article about Jim detailing this story. So I share this one with you. Hey, if you're a hunter and you're out there, then you're listening to these shows that I speak about, then you need to be aware of this and this scenario. But if you're the typical hiker, you don't need to know this. We just want to make sure that we do the right things because, you know, there are people that, once again, they feed bears, they put food out, they do all these things. Well, if we're conditioning bears to do certain things, well, that is not the right thing to do. But if you're going to make all the safe precautions, because again, think about this. We spoke about what it's like to be safe out in bear country. We'll call it that because it doesn't matter where you go in the country, whether they're blacks or grizz. And even in grizz country, there's many black bears because out in Yellowstone, I've seen plenty of black bears. And it's not just Yellowstone because New Mexico happens to be my favorite state. So I can go into many stories, but I'm going to say this. It is your job to make good decisions when you're out there, whether you're solo, and I do recommend going with people, but if you're solo, it's making good decisions either way, solo or with a group. Enjoy the outdoors, hike, take photos, fish, whatever you do out there, but make sure you're safe. So get out there and enjoy, and most important, be safe. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. That was awesome.